This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Thomas. The unofficial, now almost official, Roald Dalton, really.
Yeah, there should be some sort of naming
16 ceremony.
16 minutes into it, I think.
That's all you need.
Cut my teeth, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I mentioned on Monday, we interviewed Kristen Chenoweth, and we're going to do that play for you right now.
I'm so excited.
Well, I hope you like it. I hope everybody likes it. And well, it goes a little bit like this. Well, in fact, it goes a lot like this because it is this.
All right, well, let's get started.
Yeah, this, we're very new to this technical. We are the Roald Daltons on Joy.
Okay.
And we've never actually left the studio to do an interview, so you are very first.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome. Now, I guess lots of people, or most of our listeners, would have come familiar with you through your multitude of TV appearances and so on, but a lot of them would know you as creating the original role of Glinda in Wicked. Now, what has it been like? That's a rather immortal role that you created there. What's that been like, and the sort of aftermath there many years on?
You know, I knew when I read the script that it was going to strike a chord. I didn't know how the critics would feel about it, but I knew the people, overall, it would speak to the masses. I didn't understand that it would be the juggernaut that it has become. I am very happy that a lot of young people grew up with it and now revere it, much like I did Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera. So for me, those were the shows. And now, their new generation, Wicked is one of those shows, and I love that. And actually, in my concert, I do the duet between Glinda and Elphaba called For Good. It's a very beautiful, beautiful, soft, tender duet about forgiveness and friendship.
Oh, we know it. Don't worry.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. But I love that kids will walk up to me and they'll say For Good or Defying Gravity or Popular. And I think, you know what, Dana and I, we were very, very blessed and lucky that we got to put our stamp on those parts, and it will live on.
Yeah, I suppose also with that is that TV now has developed. You know, you've obviously been involved in Glee, and then there are shows like Smash and so on and so forth that have really kind of brought out these sort of Broadway elements of a lot of the stuff that you've kind of done for a lot of your life. What's your opinion on shows like that? I can't imagine you wouldn't like them.
Oh, I do like them. Whether I like them or not, I appreciate what they're doing. I'm very, very proud of Glee. I think Ryan Murphy, I think he brought the uncool thing to making it cool. In Oklahoma, for example, where I'm from, football is the thing, and sport and cheerleading is the thing. That's the way I performed. There was no Glee Club. So what Glee did was brought that into light and made it semi-cool. And I like that because I'm a music lover and I'm a drama person, and you know, I want other young people to have the experience that I didn't get to have. So when I walk down the school hallways now and I see Glee Club Championship, Glee Club did this, Glee Club, and I see the plaques on the wall, I get so happy by that. But I always have to give credit where credit is due, and one of the first people to do that was Mr. David Kelly with Ally McBeal.
Yep.
And then Brian Fuller picked it up with a show I was on called Pushing Daisies. So there were people doing it a little bit, scratching the surface before Glee, and then Glee just kind of made it happen. So there's an element to the live performance, or the fact that, and I say this all the time, this is not news from me, that we sing it because we can't speak it. And that's the beautiful thing about music. And it is the universal language. You sing because you can't speak it. And then, of course, dance is an extension of that, too. So, you know, obviously I love the arts. I love anything that's going to promote it and make kids that don't fit in, and that be their niche, to find it, you know? That's important.
with that in mind, then Chris Colfer was quoted, I believe, because you never know if it's really true, but he's adorable, by the way, isn't he?
I love him so.
And he was quoted as saying that working with you would be like a priest working with Jesus.
He did say that, and I always tease him because I, you know, of course I don't, it's me, I don't view myself that way, but one thing that happened with me and those kids, I say I was on it 3 or 4 times, I think, Lee, I became sort of like, some might say mother, I prefer to use the term big sister, but I understood them. And also, I knew what was getting ready to happen in their life.
Yeah.
That was going to explode. And I just, in my way, I tried to say to them, all of that fame and all that other crap is really fun and stuff, but then it wears off. And then you're stuck with your actual craft. And Chris Colfer will be, in 20 years, we'll be, still be discussing him.
Yeah.
He has a place in this art.
Speaking of God, one thing that people often wonder about is your part in Good Christian Bitches. People love it, but obviously there's a little bit of unresolved energy in relation to that. It sort of finished pretty early.
It finished, you know, in America, we have a lot of conservatism. And I'm from that, actually. I'm from the Bible Belt. I'm actually from what GCB is about. Mm-hmm. That's what I grew up with. So I actually know those characters very well. And played somebody I know very well. It bothered me, and it was hurtful that some of the community, Christian community to be exact, didn't embrace it. Some of them did, though. Some of them got a tickle at themselves because it's like, that's us. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's tricky. You know, we lost a lot of advertisement, sponsorship.
Right.
And I was sad by it because I thought it had a really good message, and I think it was nothing but fun. I know that the extreme conservatives felt that it made fun of God. First of all, this is my opinion. I did not feel it did. I would not do something that made fun of God because I'm a God person myself. However, I can understand that there are people that didn't feel that way, and I respect them for their beliefs, but, you know, I don't want to be judged for mine.
Well, I mean, it's acting as well, isn't it? You know, that's the main thing about it.
Yes.
It's acting. I mean, but not only was it acting, but you were playing, I guess, a bit of a bitch.
I was a villain in that, you know, of course she loved everybody, yeah. Bless their hearts.
In her own way.
In her own way. And I have to say there was an episode that a critic picked up on and said, Carlene makes fun of the lead girl for wearing slacks to church. How ridiculous. In where I'm from, you don't wear slacks.
Right.
You wear a dress. You look perfect when you walk out of the house. So it was very real to life. And, of course, Bobby Harling, our writer who wrote Steel Magnolias, First Wife Club, Soap Dish, he writes women like nobody. He was actually the reason I wanted to do it. And I am, you know, it's a cult following over there.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, with that and shows like Pushing Daisies, I'm very proud. I'd rather be on something that strikes a chord than something that's like, eh. It's okay.
Sure.
I'd rather be that.
Now you are here in Melbourne to perform at Hamer Hall. And what's in store for the show?
Oh, goodness. You know, I was on tour last spring, and it's a version of that show. It is not a show that I come out and stand there and sing, although that's hard enough. It's, you know, it's singing and dancing, and I have 3 actors, singer, dancers. We act and do a funny pun skit. We do tons of movement, and mainly it does feel like a story. I've chosen every song for a purpose. I don't just sing a song to either show off or for no reason. They're all chosen for a purpose.
So and where are the songs from?
All over the map. It's opera. It's musical theater. It's original music. Country. Disco. I mean, I dare say that there's got to be something that
someone's going to like. Yeah. Everyone's going to like.
Yeah.
Will you need me to be Alphabet tomorrow?
If you know for good.
I think it might be the last time that you ever do it. We'll have a laugh.
Don't ever say that. That is not true. Everybody, what I love about that song, and I've had a lot of people come up and sing that with me. Some have been better than others. But honestly, it's the words.
Yeah.
That are so touching. Yeah. And even if you're not a singer, you know, it's no secret that I pick somebody from the audience. I don't think it's a secret.
Oh.
To sing for good
I
with me.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I do. I do. I don't meet them. It's not planned. I want, you know, somebody to have the experience of singing that song and experiencing it with me.
Did you enjoy the Adelaide Cabaret Festival?
I sure did. I didn't understand what it was.
Huge,
forgive me. I just didn't understand. I'm actually trying to relate it to something we have in the U.S. I mean, Coachella a little bit, but these are more very individualized, specific. What I appreciated about it was everybody was so different. Mm. And everybody owned who they were. And the talent was, I thought, very cool. Like, everybody did their thing. And obviously, I had a great time. I mean, they were... Australia in and of itself has been very welcoming and kind and just happy to, you know, say come with us. And I've appreciated it.
Now, we did put a thing on our website about what, you know, questions to ask.
Oh, good.
And a few things
favorite.
Came. One came of what role would you love to play either now or in the future? Is there like a budding Norma Desmond in there that you want to Annie, perhaps?
Been there, done that.
I think I read that.
Let's see. I was lucky enough to play Lily St. Regis in the movie version.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but when I was... probably 11.
Mm-hmm.
They were the very first movie they did of Annie. I think it was Universal. No, excuse me, Paramount. I auditioned. They went state to state in the U.S., and I was down to the wire for Annie. And at the end of the director, Garrison True, who I believe is no longer with us, said, you're so Southern, I just can't buy you as a little New Yorker kid.
Right.
But your voice is, you know, right. And I tried. I really did try to become Annie, but the truth is I'm just not her.
Well, we, you know, we, either are we.
But we do, don't we all? And also I was a very young actress, so you know what I mean, it was different. My favorite role that I want to play someday is Hello, Dolly.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully that's, you know, I still have some time to do that. There is a show that I'm been asked to revive, and it looks like may happen, which is a Madeleine Kahn role from maybe 40 years ago, Comden and Green's musical On the 20th Century. Yeah. So it's operetta in nature, but comedic, which would be perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
And after Promises, Promises, and The Apple Tree, and Wicked, and Charlie Brown, it would be yet another very different role. So,
is that the role that you were going to do when you... When you accepted Daisies, because there was one about Madeleine Kahn.
You know, that's
there.
A very good point. It was Young Frankenstein.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And that was a really big part
for me. Megan Mullally.
Yes, in fact, I told Mel Brooks, you should hire my friend Megan, and he did. So I'm really happy that she got to play it, but sad for myself. Mm-hmm. That's one of those, it got away, you know.
Well, we've absolutely loved talking with you.
Me too.
Should we go out with a version of Defying Gravity?
Yes. Why don't you guys sing in harmony?
Yeah, we were hoping to mime.
Yeah.
Sign language, perhaps.
Yes.
Perhaps. But you've been an absolute delight.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now we've got our guest here who I'm very excited about because not only is she amazing, but she's also my mate. And her name is Barb Junger. Hello, Barb.
Hello. It's so lovely to be here.
Well, for people that have listened to Joy before will know that you've been on before, haven't you?
Yeah.
And
I was here last.
Yes. Now, was that a year ago, is it?
No, it's 3 years ago.
Bloody
it's
hell.
Such a long time, I know.
God, I had no idea.
I know. It flies by, doesn't it?
Were you here in the war? warmer months, or was it like this?
No, it was a different sort of months. Mm. It was autumn months. So, no, spring months. So it was just as cold, but in a different way.
Yeah. Because this is kind of, you know, well, it's it just doesn't ring true as Melbourne weather, does it? I just, you know, and normally I've got out of here by now. I've gone over to England.
Yeah, because you're coming soon.
Yes, and I just don't like it, this kind of weather. I mean, you know, you've got to expect all the different seasons, especially in Melbourne, you know, but it's just, I just don't like it.
Well, I come originally from Manchester, as you perhaps know. I'm born in Rochdale and grew up in Stockport. And I can honestly say that this is the weather I lived with my entire youth. And that is why I moved to the southeast, yes, to climes more clement.
Yeah. Now, you've just got back. Well, you've got some concerts coming up, which we're obviously going to talk about.
Yeah.
But you just got back from doing the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Did you love it?
I did love it. I made great friends with Jerry Arias.
Right.
Jerry and I are bosom pals
now. He's from New York, isn't he?
Yeah. We've embraced and all that business. And his lovely manager and his lovely piano player, Charlie. That was just wonderful. Had a superb time. I mean, I did that festival, you know, in something like 2006, mm-hmm, five or six. So it's been a while, and it's a very different festival now. It's, you know, mega.
Huge,
and I just had such, I mean, I loved it when I was there before, and I loved it this time. Such a ball.
Were you involved in the gala?
And yeah, then you did, I was in the gala.
You did the gala and then your own
gigs. I did two galas.
Wow.
I did two galas, and I did Joey's late night cafe thing. And then I had to do the volunteers thing, and then I did my two own shows. I was constantly working.
Did you love that?
I did love it. Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Now, you're constantly working because you are doing the New American Songbook, which is on at the Melbourne Recital Centre, which is a beautiful venue.
I know.
It's where you were 3 years ago, and it is such a lovely room, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, and I'm thrilled to be back. Really, really happy. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous recital centre. Everything's, you know, the piano's fabulous. They look after you incredibly kindly. It just feels like a really good place for music, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, the songs, the New American Songbook, yeah. I think I said great. And new being artists, which, you know, have got the back catalogue for days, haven't they? People like Bob Dylan and David Byrne, Neil Diamond. Yeah. I mean, you know, these
Joni
are
Joni Mitchell. I'm very excited
amazing.
About that bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I kind of pioneered this concept of the New American Songbook because, you know how sometimes people who have something don't realise they've got it. So everybody in America is always going, the Great American Songbook. And I said, well, you've got a whole chapter that you're not listening to. You've got a whole chapter of the book here that you're not looking at. And they went, well, what is it? And I said, it's the New American Songbook. It's the people post 1950.
Right.
And I mean, that's not, to be honest, super, super recent, actually, because Dylan and Cohen, a lot of the stuff I sing is 40 years old. It's, you know, but the Great American Songbook was 100 years old now.
Yeah.
And my whole point was that you can take the songs of people like Dylan and Cohen and Joni Mitchell, and you can do exactly what people did, because people don't sing the Great American Songbook the way it was written. They don't go, tonight, won't be... They go, tonight, gadiddle-a-da, won't be just any... Anybody in here from Cincinnati? They do that, don't they?
Do you know what, beef.
You know what, exactly. But you know what I mean. Joking aside, they change the stuff. Mm. And I said, you can do that with these songs. You can take them and you can make them something new and you can make people listen to them again. And then everybody went, oh, no, you can't because it's Dylan and it's Cohen. Ooh, ooh. Well, of course you can.
Yes.
You know, they're songs. They're out there in the world. Of course you can.
I mean, they're all precious, aren't they? Even the ones from years, I mean, the great American people were obviously at one point would have gone, don't touch them.
Well,
people made them their own, you know.
No, they were so happy. Do you know what? Irving Berlin and the Gershwins, what they wanted? They wanted people to sing their songs.
Right.
They wanted other people to sing them. And so did Dylan. You know, people forget that Dylan's first hits were Peter, Paul and Mary singing Blowing in the Wind.
Right.
You know, it was other people doing it. That's really interesting, I think.
Yeah.
So it's the New American Songbook.
Now, we're going to have some messages and then come back because I also obviously want to play a song off your album, Stockport. Stockport to Memphis. That Stockport's got in twice in this interview now, hasn't
it? I know. Well, it's, you know, God bless Stockport. It's not got in very many places over the years. And there's, I just did this massive big interview, I was telling Di, massive big interview in Britain in the Independent on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the guy who did the interview, the whole thing was about coming from Stockport, you know, that was the whole kind of thesis of it. And there'd been a radio show called Stockport So Good They Named It Once. Like New York, you know.
Yeah.
Stockport So Good They Named It. And he copied it all onto CD for me. And I played it when I was on my way to my mum's on the train going to Stockport. And I started laughing out loud because it's hilarious. Because in Stockport, everybody talks like that. They talk like that.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm from Stockport. That's how they talk. And I was laughing. And the man facing me on the, you know, on the train tables on the across the way from me, he turned the thing around and he went, "Are you from Stockport?" And I said, "Yes, I am." Do you know, because I've managed to do something with my accent. "Yes, I am," I said. And he said, "So am I." And he said, "Is this good?" And I said, "It's hilarious." So he wrote it all down and he was going to order the box set.
Oh, great. Wow. Love that. Love it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're on the Royal Daltons with Michael and Thomas and our very, very special guest, Barb Junger. Now, Barb, your album, Stockport to Memphis.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I grew up in Stockport.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Rochdale, actually, you know, Gracie Fields, Lisa Stansfield. And it's in the cult book of pop. It has a mention of my work, which is very nice, from Rochdale. So that's lovely. And then I went to Stockport when I was 7. So my kind of formative musical years were growing up in this very odd, rather grim industrial town in the northwest. And we had the most extraordinary music. If you went to the youth club on a Saturday night, the DJ would have gone out, he would have written to some guy in town, you know, some guy in Detroit or some guy in Nashville or some guy in Memphis, and he would have gotten a whole pile of stuff sent. He would have sent a postal order and he'd be playing this stuff that was, for some reason, that just made our hearts sing, made my heart sing. So I grew up listening to Sam Cooke, you know, Marvin Gaye, and these great, great, great singers. And standing, you know, standing in Stockport in Mersey Square and kissing my boyfriends, you know, and listening to this fantastic music. And I kind of boxed it away. You know, over the years, you know, I moved and I went to London and I became more sophisticated and all that stuff. We're laughing in here. You'd laugh if you saw me. And suddenly I thought, I've really got to pay some sort of homage, actually, to my real roots. Because those people, they're tough old people, those people I come from. They're tough old people.
They have to be growing up in that area,
they
I think,
really have to be.
Years,
And so I thought it was time to sort of go, do you know what? This is where I come from. You know, this is what I do, but that's where I come from.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This next guest
is
so anyone that's played Mary Poppins is going to be a friend of ours.
Absolutely, yes.
But she's not here to talk about that solely, because she's doing Shane Warne the musical. If you don't add the musical there, you can be in trouble. But we welcome to the Royal Dons Verity Hunt Ballard. Hello.
Hello, gents. Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So exciting. Sorry.
Not right. That's
we
all
should
she
fill
says.
You in. We were talking about Mary Poppins earlier. We're both big music theatre queens, believe it or not, and Mary Poppins is one of our favourites, and you're our favourite Mary Poppins. So,
because Thomas said he'd seen it around the world, I've seen it in England, but I hadn't seen it anywhere other than that. Mm-hmm. And you're his favourite,
So if I call you Mary for the rest of this interview,
it's
is
fine.
That okay?
Yeah. Oh my gosh! I actually did come in with an umbrella because it's pouring outside. And I was in the lift, and somebody kind of looked at me, and I rubbed my eyes. And
landed
it's nice
on the helipad
to be in Melbourne,
at the top.
Yeah. Cold Melbourne. I love it.
Well, and you're another one who just got back from the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Because it did very well over there, Shane Warne musical, didn't it?
Yes, the Adelaide Cabaret Festival is such a wonderful festival. It just gets better and better each year. It's just it's an international festival, unlike any other cabaret festival in the world, I think. And Kate Sobrano and Torben Brookman and the team over there, just they have the most amazing shows. They it's been fantastic. And we were lucky enough to be part of it, and with a very short rehearsal period, Shane Warne the musical went off.
How many? Was it only a couple of weeks in rehearsal?
We had 2 weeks rehearsal. Wow. Directed by Simon Phillips. Wonderful cast. And we did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We did seven performances, pretty much sold out at Her Majesty's in Adelaide, and the Adelaide audiences just lapped it up.
Yeah,
brilliant.
And this is the second incarnation of it, isn't it? Because it had been on a couple of years ago.
Yes. Well, Eddie Perfect, the writer and star of it, and I go way back to Whopper over in Perth, and
right.
I have workshopped his material over the years and very much admire his work.
So were you mates then?
We're mates. Yeah. We're good old mates, Eddie and I. And yeah, it's been workshopped, performed, produced. Shane won the musical, and it's just so good. It just can't stop here. So it's been worked again. It's slightly different. So if you saw the touring production, it's slightly different, but with all of the greatness there still, and a fabulous cast, including Lisa McCune, Shane Jacobson, Christy Whelan, Eddie himself, and just a fabulous group of people.
I guess, so one of the challenges with someone who, with writing a music about someone who's still not only alive, but very much still in the media, is that their story is still changing. So are those changes that have been made to the show, do they sort of incorporate what's happening?
Yes. Yeah. Do you mean is Liz Hurley part of it?
Yes, that's exactly what I know, but I'm asking politely.
Liz Hurley is definitely part of the show. I can't give too much away because it's a fabulous ending to the show, played by Christy Whelan. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant.
Very, very funny.
Brilliant.
Yes. Now, what's your role in it? What do you do?
Well, Eddie first asked me to be part of the show, and I play quite a few different roles in the show, as do quite a few of the artists, because it's a small cast, and it's such a treat as an actor when you get to play lots of diverse, contrasting characters. It's such a treat as an actor. But first of all, Eddie called and said, oh, look, we'd love you to be part of this show. It's actually playing Shane Warne's mother. And I went, okay. Recently having given birth to my first daughter, I thought, God, am I that mumsy already?
No, he values you as a character actress.
So I took it as a compliment.
Yes.
And so I do play Bridget Warne for part of the show, and I play a lot of other characters as well, as does Lisa and Amy La Palma, and the gents in it as well. It's fabulous because it is music theatre, but it's a modern take on music theatre, and that's what Eddie does so well. He's such an incredible musician, comedian, actor. Yeah. And I think what's wonderful about this piece is that it brings new people to the theatre.
Yeah.
You know, it brings sporty people to the theatre.
Yeah.
It brings in a kind of eclectic mix of people that appreciate music and theatre, but not necessarily the genre of old school musical theatre.
Well, he's loved, isn't he? Shane Warne's a bit of a sporting,
such a larrikin,
you know.
He,
yeah,
he's an Australian. I
mean, perhaps not by everyone, but you know, by a lot of people.
A lot of people.
But I think even those few people that don't like him would still like to see a musical.
That's
about
right.
Eddie,
yeah, that's
even
right.
More
because
reason.
Eddie has this incredible way of commenting on his life, certainly without taking the piss. Without, you know, it's Shane Warne is an incredible, colourful human being that has a really interesting Australian story and continues to. Mm-hmm. And this is a tribute to him, really.
Yes. Would it go to London then?
Hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
well,
that's
Well, there should be going with it.
Well, who knows?
Because you
who
could knows? Do that, and then you could do Mary Poppins.
Oh.
Well, look, I'm just getting my head around being a mum at the moment.
Right,
so
yeah, fair enough. Give me your agent's number. Let me write down.
Cameron McIntosh had
his
way, I'm
sure. Do you
ever
pull out the Mary Poppins costume and start singing?
I do sing to my bubba sometimes, but I think if Cameron had his way, he'd probably have me over there in Mary Poppins again. But we'll see what the future holds. But at the moment, it's just wonderful doing such a different piece.
Yeah.
An Australian piece, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always funny and entertaining to sing in an Australian accent.
Yeah.
It always grates a bit on the ear to start with, but then it's actually quite fabulous.
Yeah.
And we're so looking forward to performing at Hamer Hall.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
Beautiful hall.
Have you been there, Thomas?
Several times. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Mm. Thomas's day job is there at Hamer.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Just so in case you thought I was being more of a smart ass than usual.
I haven't performed there since it's been renovated.
Oh, the acoustics
so
are just
wait.
Incredible. Yeah.
Great.
Well, the dates are the 20th and 21st of June. Now, there's only two dates. It seems like that's not going to be enough.
It's selling really quickly.
Well, yeah, I bet it is with the cast and what it's all about. Yeah.
Yes, luckily it's a big theatre, but get in there because I think it'll be a treat. I think it'll be unlike anything else you'll see, certainly, for a while. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
Australian material, you know, we have to get behind it.
Exactly.
And working with a mate, you
That's
know,
right.
must, we know,
it's
must
delightful.
Be lovely.
It is delightful.
Good on you. Now, artscentremelbourne.com.au. Did you want to give out that address, Thomas, or are you all right with me doing that?
No, that's fine. You can do that. But I do have one more question.
I'm
very excited to
go for
this.
It.
We had Kristen Chenoweth earlier, and we asked what her favourite, well, if she could play any part in any musical, what would it be? What would you choose, Verity?
Oh.
Any part at all, male, female, old or young?
You've put me on the spot.
As if you haven't sat at home listening to Oliver wishing you could be him.
Oh, look, Danny Zuko in Greece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Really?
That was the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah, I can see you doing that.
I'd love to play a bloke. I love challenges like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right, brilliant. That's a good answer. I like
well,
that one.
Greece is the word.
Yeah, no, well, that's
I'll give Rob Mills a run for his money.
Yeah. You know, he's doing everything else. well, lovely. I'm glad you came in. And you get along on the 20th or 21st of June to see Verity and Shane Warne the musical. Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Thanks.
You're on Joy.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
There is a lot of musicals in town at the moment, but there is one that is definitely getting everybody's attention. Mm. This is going to be a phenomenal show in Melbourne. I love the fact that it's never been anywhere else. You do not get a bigger gig than this. And joining us from the cast is Chris Ryan and Adam Lyon. It's the Ryan and Lyon show on the Royal right. Daltons.
Very good.
Hello, gentlemen. How
Hi,
are
mate.
You?
Good. How are you doing?
Very really, well, really well. And I guess... I would love to know how you're going because you've been in rehearsals and now in previews. And it's stupid to say you must be exhausted, but you must be exhausted.
A bit. I mean, excited. Like we're almost there. So, you know, excited and tired. How's that?
Well, that's good.
Yeah, they actually gave us 2 days off the other day, and that's the first 2 days off we've had in months.
Months, yeah.
And usually one day is not enough to recover from rehearsing this show because it's just, you know.
It's nuts.
You start dreaming about giant apes with this show. It's just nuts. So we had 2 days off, so we're feeling more rested than usual.
Yeah, a bit calmer.
Ready for the big opening this week.
Yeah, because so you've got a gig tonight and then up until Friday and Saturday is the opening night.
Yeah, a few shows. So tomorrow and then the next day and then we open, so...
Yeah,
almost there.
No matinees, though. They're the ones that really hurt.
Yeah, they've been very, very kind.
So have you got no matinees for the run or just at the moment?
Just this week.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we had them last week and the week before and all through the season. But they're being a little bit kind to us in lead up to opening.
Well, I expect they want you to last.
Yeah, exactly.
So true.
I mean, I'm sure they are being kind, but really they just want to, you know. But this is, you know, like I was going to say, a monster of a show, but I didn't mean that. But your role, Adam, is Carl Denham. So is that the role that we see he kind of takes as the guide, is it, in this?
Yeah, well, he's the filmmaker that captures Kong. So he goes to Skull Island and he finds the monkey and brings him back. And then causes, as a result, you know, quite some mayhem and mischief. Like he's a great character.
It
he's
works awesome. Out all right in the end, though, doesn't it?
Sure, why not?
Oh,
don't
want
to ruin the ending.
Oh, my God. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Kong gets married to another gorilla and they start a small Apple van in Swanson Street. And
See, you've made me happy. Hurrah. And Chris, then, would you be the hunky love interest?
Love
it. Yeah.
Love it.
I think that's pretty much the deal. I played Jack, who's first mate on the boat. And this guy, Carl, comes along wanting to make a movie on Skull Island. Doesn't sound great.
So ominous.
It's so ominous.
Why did we go?
Oh, I don't know. Because the show would end very quickly if we didn't. But so I'm first mate on the boat, and he's brought along this budding film star who's going to be the star of his latest film. And sparks fly between me and her. And then a giant monkey comes and, gets in the way.
What is it like working with that massive monkey then?
So cool. Like it's otherworldly. Like when we were rehearsing earlier, they told us what it would be. Mm-hmm. But until you get in there with the monkey, you can't understand it. It's just it's a magical experience. Like he's so scary and so real. It's terrible.
Well, you mentioned
wonderful.
That you're obviously working alongside that, you know, Kong, and then you've got the you into the audience to watch it, to look at it, so that we'd obviously what we watch as an audience.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, well, they took us out because Tech was very long because it's such a complex show. They took us out, I think it was halfway through, because we're all a bit tired and feeling a bit techie.
Yeah.
And they showed us the moment where he comes in, and it was ludicrous.
Like, so exciting. I mean,
it's nuts. I don't know how they've done it.
It's just like, all of us had the experience of like, my God, right, okay, we've been talking about it for months and years. Yeah. And like,
and then
this
you
is
see
what it,
it
is, and you're like, yeah, it's everything that... And more than you would have hoped for. It's really thrilling.
Because no matter how well a story is told about a giant mechanical monkey, it's nowhere near as good as actually seeing a giant.
No. Like and if you don't pull it off and you don't believe it, then
it's just me and a puppet.
How do you do that in those early stages before you have anything to work with those interaction moments in the show? How do you rehearse that without a giant
monkey? There was
monkey?
A guy called Harley Durst, extraordinary physical performer, a wonderful actor, and both for the workshop up in the last workshop in Sydney and for almost all the rehearsal process, he would do all the scenes with us and with Esther. And I recall the first time we did a showing for the producers and such up in Sydney, we did all the scenes with Harley and him and Esther, and we were all heartbroken. And what they've done very cleverly, it was possibly some of the best, I think, best acting I've ever seen between him and Esther. It was heartbreaking. And what they did very cleverly is they've taken him and put him in charge of the voice of Colm.
Okay. Yep.
So it sounds bizarre, but you can hear licks of Harley when he talks.
Yeah.
There's actually, because it's part puppet, part animatronic. Mm. And so there's 12 guys, 10 or 12 guys on stage live with him moving the limbs. There's a whole automated system that kind of shifts him around stage to make the big moves happen. And then there's 3 guys, and Harley's one of them, who sit at the back of the theatre with remote controls doing their head and
voice. Yeah, because the facial expressions from the promotional material is just incredible.
It's amazing.
Do you guys get yourselves around? Do you need help getting yourselves around, or do you just...
There's 15 guys controlling me.
Yeah.
And there's 6
guys.
Story of my life.
Yeah. Not like that way.
No, fair enough. This is going to be massive, though, isn't it? The show
is going to be
massive.
We're hoping I think the response so far has been really positive, and the buzz, as much as we've been in that theatre and not... I haven't heard too much of the buzz, but when I talk to friends, people are going, the buzz.
Well, what a masterstroke. The Eureka Tower, that was just fantastic.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, great, wasn't it? Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, that went around the world.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So it's been
Britain
great.
And Ireland and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So they loved it.
It's great. You felt, the whole city kind of starting to get behind it at that point.
And is it lovely being part of an original production like this? It's just
there's a wonderful sense of ownership, and the company is just fantastic, and the idea is it's so brave. I think some works of art are brave, and if nothing else, this is so brave, and they've been brave in the time they took, in the manner they went about it, who they cast as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's been the most wonderful experience. And
well, we'd love to have you back, because we've got a bit rushed at the moment, but because of the bad weather, we'd love to have you back.
Anytime.
Yep. And once the show's up and running, and you can come in when you're a bit more, relaxed. Yeah.
You might have seen it by then, so you might have some,
Well, Glenn's already been. He's jetted off. He absolutely loved it, said he's never seen anything like it in his life.
Fantastic.
And he's a big musical queen. I'm a bit more, hard to please, a bit more masculine.
When are you coming? Those titles.
I cannot wait. All the best, but it's on the Regent Theatre. Everybody knows all about it, but get along and watch King Colm the musical. Good on you guys.
Thank you so much, mate. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
All the best.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Now, we've had loads of guests on, and we've got one more, and I'm very, very excited to say that I've worked with this lady some years ago. I don't even remember how many years ago it was, but it was a while. We'll remember together, maybe. Mm. But she joins us now because she's doing a play, and it's all upmarket and all very posh, although the subject matter is a little tricky. But the young lady's name is Ali Fowler.
Oh, look, hello. And I love the way you called me young.
Well, you are.
Oh, and a lady for that. that matter.
Well, yeah,
double
you are,
whammy.
I'm sure you are, right?
No,
you're
I
both
am, of course
those.
I am. Look, and I do apologise for my appearance. I look a little dishevelled, but I got it's caught radio, up in a woman's right. umbrella downstairs on the way
oh,
in.
Really? Not Mary
oh,
Poppins?
Oh, I spent at. Well, I don't think it was Mary Poppins. No, she. Otherwise, she would have been caught up in me, wouldn't she? Flying
enough.
In.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, let me know all about this. It's called
right.
The Boys.
Right, The Boys.
It's on at the moment.
It's on at the moment mm-hmm. at Revolt.
Yeah,
or Revolt.
Which is in
Kensington.
I don't know.
People seem to say Revolt. I don't
Revolt.
Quite know.
No, I think it's Revolt.
Revolt.
Well, I don't
in
know.
In Kensington.
Anyway, as long as they go, it don't matter.
That's right. It's a fantastic space.
Yes.
Anyway, very interesting space.
I have
all
been
sorts
there.
Of things
it's
are going
good.
On there. Yeah. So anyway, it's
now,
running
the
there.
What's The Boys all about?
The Boys is a play by Gordon Graham.
Mm-hmm.
There was a film. It was written. The play was written in the early 90s, I think 91, something like that. Anyway, people might be familiar with the film that had David Wenham in it.
Yep.
Rather gritty film. It's But anyway, the story is based loosely on the Anita Cobby murder.
Yes,
she
which was in
a
the
young
–
nurse who was murdered in about
the 80s,
1986, I think
right.
it was, in the Outer West in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a kind of fictionalised account, whereas the film really focused on the three brothers who committed the crime.
Right.
They're definitely, of course, strutting their stuff. But the play focuses more on the women, the girlfriends and the mother.
Right. Mm-hmm. And are you, you would
the
be the young girl?
I would be the
ingenue.
Young pregnant ingenue.
Or the mother. Are you the mother?
I am the mother.
Oh, no. Has it been that long since we worked together? Because when we worked together, you were Janet in Rocky Horror.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Although I do remember the director saying I was the... He felt that my Janet had been around the block. I took it as a compliment.
Yes.
But I don't think it was intended as one necessarily.
Well, do you? I mean, when you this must
Deep
be a great
voice.
Role, isn't it?
It's
you know,
a great
it's
role.
When you, of
yeah.
course, when you're doing a play, I mean, comedies are nice. You know,
yeah.
anything like that is all good fun. Rocky Horror, great,
gorgeous.
But getting your teeth into something gritty like this has got to be
right.
good.
Something meaty.
Yeah.
And look, the first act of the play, I mean, the first half is very sort of.
She hasn't been. She hasn't been raped and murdered then, is it?
Oh. Well,
that comes
no,
later.
That comes later. You don't actually see that.
No,
so I just
of course
just
not.
For
yeah,
people
yeah.
going, oh, I couldn't go and watch that.
No.
No, it's not that dark. And the first act has some, you know, very funny lines in it. It's quite humorous. It's sort of lightish in a kind of in your face kind of way.
Yeah.
And then the second act really kind of picks up and but you know, it's very relevant material in these times as to what motivates these men to do this
yes,
sort
exactly,
of thing
yeah.
and commit these heinous crimes
yeah.
and how the women who are in their lives, how they're affected and how they're left behind. And 10% of our proceeds are going to the White Ribbon Foundation, which
wow.
is violence towards women.
Now, Gordon Graham, the playwright, obviously wanted to do it from the women's perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just because this story had already been done
yes.
from the men's. And this,
yeah.
And I guess, I mean, obviously, you know, for those around... The you know her I can't think of her name Anita Cobby that is the story then isn't it that's why it's
well,
so
I think,
gritty
you know,
and emotional
the, yeah and these women are the girlfriends of the three brothers
oh,
that commit the crime
wow.
and then the mother so how did they cope with the fact that the people that they loved and that they thought
did
they
that.
Knew went off and committed this crime and so it's you know.
And not only are you so well, that's what you do when you're acting.
That's right.
And but you are a singer as well, and a lot
I
of people would
singer.
Know you from the Shantuzies.
Correct.
Yes, and you still do gigs, don't you?
We do still do gigs,
yeah.
and we've got a Facebook page. It's
wow.
fairly new, so I'm looking at me. I got all of it. You can't see it because I know it's not a visual medium, but I got all a bit sort of jazz hands on it, didn't I?
You did.
I got all a bit excited. So we've got a Facebook page, and so you go onto our Facebook page, and apparently what you do is you like it.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's
man.
Right. See, look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're all over it. And we post our gigs on that. We've got one coming up in on August the 3rd at the Flying Saucer in St George's Road, Elston Week.
Rightio.
So come along to that, people.
But
that
I mean, you know,
a fun night.
Yeah, I think everybody had a real love affair with the chanteuse. Well, not a real one, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
not everyone.
Not literally.
A bit. As they say. But no, I mean, such a good group, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. You know, obviously, why would you not still be gigging? You know,
exactly. Well, we were a good part. We were always a good fun kind of party group. You didn't necessarily go to see us to have, you know, you're serious musicianship.
No, and you all went into it with a wealth of experience. Yeah. So why wouldn't you continue that? You know, exactly. Yeah. Well, it seems only right that we'll go out on one of your chanteuse's numbers.
All right.
I can't help myself. But let me give the...
that's right. We've got a wonderful cast. Laura Wheelwright from Animal Kingdom and the Julian Assange story.
Sarah Grace from Winners and Losers.
No, wonderful, wonderful
now,
cast.
Now, where do people get tickets?
They can book them on the Revolt.
Yep.
Website.
Yep, I've got revoltproductions.com is the one of the websites.
Yes,
there. It is on. It's up until.
So it's running till Saturday. So we've only got four more shows left. Although we are looking, I think there's a possible extension
but don't wait on that.
No, don't necessarily wait on that in case you know.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah,
it doesn't. Which isn't anything to do with, I think there's something, Revolt's got something slated to come into the theatre after us.
I would imagine it does. But there is a possibility. Yeah, but don't, you know, that's always a good idea to get in and book.
Yes, exactly.
Well, lovely for you to come in. And
thank you so much. Lovely to see you again.
I know, it's been a while.
Oh, you haven't aged a bit.
Please. Bit of hard work done. All right, thank you, Ali Fowler.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.